is heard so much more than your and my voice is.
Maybe, Jonah, we could talk about Citizens United for a few minutes and just review how what that said and then sort of what how it has affected things and then talk about this decision and how it relates to that. Can you talk a little bit about what Citizens United allowed?
Sure. Well, Citizens United allowed independent expenditures that were unlimited. So if a corporation, and it was focused on corporations and unions, so it said that if a corporation or union wanted to give unlimited amounts to a super PAC or a 501c4 to influence elections, and through 501c4s they can give it secretly, then the government couldn't regulate that. So because of that, millions upon millions upon billions of dollars actually has come into our elections in these independent expenditures. So that's what Citizens United did. And the court says, well, look, it's independent of a candidate, so it's not actually corrupting that candidate. The average American, and when people are polled, about 80% of people say that that's not rational. That will corrupt our democracy. It is corrupting our democracy, and it's clear to anyone that just thinking about it that that's not an okay way to run a government. But the court took things a step further today, and today was about individuals. And today it said, basically, an individual can give unlimited amounts. I mean, $5.9 million might be restrictive to a few people like the Koch brothers, but not very many. It means that my $20 or $40 contribution doesn't mean anything. It drowns out my voice. It drowns out your voice, and it drowns out most people's voices.
And I read that it was possible that the court there were three possible choices the court could have made, and one of them was a hybrid. Does today's decision, the 5-4 decision, is it the hybrid? Is it the total decision in favor of McCutcheon, or how is it characterized?
It's pretty much as bad as it could get. I mean, the court could have taken things even further and ended individual or direct contributions to candidates, the $10,000 that existed, but no one expected that to happen. So this is not the hybrid. This is as bad as it could get. I want to emphasize that we shouldn't be just angry today, that today is a day of organizing and action, that there are over 140 events planned where people are protesting around the country, including one at the Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland. And that's at 5 o'clock today in Portland. So I really encourage people not just to be angry, we all should be angry, but to use this as a day of action and to say, you know, hopefully things have gotten so bad that the population of this country is no longer going to let it stand, that people really are rising up and already were rising up in protest, and we're going to work for a constitutional amendment to restore democracy to the people. So again, it's at 5 o'clock at Pioneer Courthouse Square today in Portland and events all around the country today.
And that's because today's the day of the decision, and those events were in relationship to when the decision was made?
Exactly, yeah. So people have been working to plan these for months now because we didn't know when the ruling would happen. So everything is put into motion today, and these events are already starting to take place. There's a rally taking place as we speak at the U.S. Supreme Court, and then events will start taking place around the country.
Well, I can certainly sense that you're probably angry about this, Jonah, and you've been working on this for a while. Did you expect this decision?
You know, unfortunately, we did, and it's really outrageous, the Supreme Court. You know, at the same time, they're undermining voting rights and making it so people of color, elders, and students can have their rights taken away, and in states that those protections were put up for a reason and still were needed. So while this court is eroding voting rights for the masses, they are giving this very, very small group of people even more power over buying and selling our country. And I really am outraged. It's hard to just be calm and speak about it today because it's just such an outrageous thing. Even though we knew it was, we felt like this was the likely ruling, now that it's happened, it just is astounding that these five individuals on the Supreme Court had the hubris to attack our democracy the way they have.
I read that Justice Thomas said he would have gone further.
Yeah, and I mean that really, it's pretty profound. But I think, you know, they are out of touch with people, and that throughout history, the Supreme Court has ruled in cases like this, like the Dred Scott decision, like Plessy v. Ferguson, and people have risen up and they've taken action to say this is not acceptable, and that's what we need to do. We can't accept this, and I know that people of this nation won't accept it. People are already outraged at all the negative advertising, all the millions of dollars, billions of dollars being spent on elections, and this is going to make things a lot worse. So we should be outraged, but we also should be active in organizing, and that's what's going to change, is going to change things. That's what's going to turn what could be really a sad day in history into a day that's going to be noted by these 140 protests around the country, and noted by people organizing to take democracy back.
And talk a little bit more about that campaign. Talk about the recourse that you're organizing around.
Sure. So we're working for a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United. So our goal is to say, Oregon has taken a stance. They're one of the 16 states that have already called for a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United, to end the idea that money, that campaign spending is speech, and to end the idea that corporations have the same rights as individuals. People are mobilizing in a big way. Over 550 local municipalities have called for a constitutional amendment. In Congress, over 148 members of Congress have co-sponsored a constitutional amendment. And now that this has happened, actually, we just got word that another member of the U.S. Senate joined on as a co-sponsor today of a constitutional amendment. And I think that McCutcheon is going to really speed things up, that people are going to see how terrible things are and demand action.
And what would be the process for getting that?
So to pass a constitutional amendment, we're 16 states and 148 members of Congress is a little over one-third of what we need. We need two-thirds of Congress to pass an amendment, and then we need three-fourths of the states to ratify it. So we need 38 states to ratify it. So we're a little ways away, but I think this movement is one that's not going away, and now there's one that's growing because of McCutcheon. So our website is democracyisforpeople.org, and people can sign the petition there and get involved in the campaign. Once you sign it, you'll start hearing about getting updates on what's happening. It's democracyisforpeople.org. It's just exciting that these events are taking place really in every nook and cranny of the country, everywhere from Stillwater, Oklahoma, to Maine, to Florida, to Hawaii, every part to Kansas, every part of the nation, there are actions taking place today. And the one in Portland, I expect will be really big, and I hope that people are able to go out to the federal courthouse today in Oregon and be part of it, because we're and be part of building this movement.
Right. That's at the Pioneer Courthouse Square. That's at 5 p.m. today. And there will be representatives of the local organization related to the national organization today.
That's right. Yeah, there are people who are locally active who will be out there. And it's a great way to connect with them to be at the rally at 5 o'clock at Pioneer Courthouse Square. It's to sign up with them to become part of the work that they're doing.
And just to bring it home a little bit more, Jonah, and let me say I'm speaking with Jonah Minkoff-Zern. He's of the group Public Citizen. He is senior organizer for the Democracy is for People campaign. We are talking about the Supreme Court decision today on McCutcheon versus the Federal Election Commission, which is deemed the most important campaign finance ruling since Citizens United. Talk a little bit more about what someone could have done, a wealthy person could have done in their donating before this decision, and what they may have done, maybe there are examples of that, and what they now are able to do.
Sure. So, I mean, before the ruling, people could give unlimited amounts as independent expenditures. And there were 61 donors who gave the equivalent of what 1.4 million small donors gave to the presidential candidates in 2012. So the 61 individuals, whether they were their individual spending or controlling one of these large entities, gave the equivalent of what 1.4 million of us gave in the 2012 elections. As far as direct contributions before McCutcheon, someone could only give an aggregate of up to $123,000 to candidates or parties or PACs. So now that McCutcheon has happened, individuals can give up to $5.9 million to either parties or PACs, individuals or PACs. And that means that this very small group of ultra-wealthy people will be at the center of both political parties when they determine what their platform is, when they think about how they're going to make decisions once they're in office. They're going to have to listen to this extremely small oligarchy that's going to be controlling our nation. Without the support of these individuals now, that they're not going to be able to run successful races or get their candidates reelected. I don't know how the Supreme Court couldn't see that destroys democracy, that makes the idea of one person, one vote seem really out of touch.
Yeah, I guess that's a question I have, because in some of the publicity, it says, did the Supreme Court just undo democracy? Do we now have a plutocracy? Is that, what do you think of that question?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. I don't see how someone can really, and it even trickles down to lower to state level elections, and even in a lot of cases to city council elections. Like in Richmond, California, even before this ruling, there was a corporation gave Chevron specifically gave $1.2 million to the city council race in Richmond, California, a small city in California. There's a sense that a very small group of individuals are making the decisions now, and that's, you know, when the government shutdown happened, the New York Times showed that it was a small group of extremely wealthy donors who orchestrated that shutdown, who intentionally wanted it to happen. So these small group of people who statistically, when it's studied, have very different values than the normal person in this country does. They don't care about things like access to higher education, access to health care, climate change, the things that most people like you or I think about on a day-to-day basis. They think about things like what they call the death tax, you know, whether their millions are going to be taxed when they die, or they care more about something like the national debt than they do about whether someone has health care or whether someone has access to quality education. Their values are different than ours, and it means that their values are what gets talked about in Washington. The issues they care about are the dialogue here.
And I think the point you made about it trickling down into very localized elections is one that we might not realize, we might not think of when we first hear about this ruling. We might think it would be a national, on the highest levels, affecting the presidential campaign, say. But just how important that money is in the smaller races is pretty impactful.
Yeah, and they've realized that they can give a tremendous amount of money right before the election and influence these very small races. And they can really be, you know, they can swing who controls a state house by doing that. And that's not a power that any individual should have. It's clearly not a democracy.
Any other examples of what you've seen so far before McCutcheon in just how money has swayed an election?
In Maine, there were right before the elections in 2010, there were many small races in both the Assembly and the Senate that were all of a sudden shocked by this money that came into their campaigns, to their opponents, and they were successfully able to switch the state house in Maine. And it happened, and it's been happening from the left and the right. And I, you know, people are often frame this as an issue from the left, but Bloomberg, for example, spent millions of dollars to defeat what people on the right would deem as gun rights advocates. He did that in races where obviously he didn't live, and in areas where he wasn't directly affected by who would be in office, but he decided he wanted to spend that money. And the money is coming in from both sides. Like in New Hampshire, in the last gubernatorial race, there was $19 million in outside spending compared to the $4 million that the candidates spent themselves. And that money came from both the left and the right. I think it's important that we note and that we be able to articulate both how masses of money are coming in from both sides, because this is an issue that people can agree on, that Republicans poll similarly. The Republicans and Democrats both poll at around 75% to 80%, saying that they want to overturn Citizens United, and I'm sure the polls will be similar, if not even more, saying that McCutcheon is destroying our democracy. And for us to win, for us to get a constitutional amendment, we need support from Democrats and Republicans alike.
And does your campaign involve direct contact, grassroots? What does the campaign involve in trying to get more people on working on this?
Sure. So we've, the McCutcheon rapid response events that are taking place today is a really exciting way that people have engaged all over the country. We didn't know what to expect when we decided to do this, and it's obviously a really hard thing to have rallies on the same day that something happens when you don't know. No one knew in advance when McCutcheon was going to take place, but people have gotten together and they're passionate about this, so they organized these events and have been working diligently for the last few months while we waited for the ruling to make sure their events go off well. And I know the one in Portland will be great today, so I really hope people go to the Pioneer Courthouse Square at 5 o'clock today. But we're also working state by state to gain state support. So Colorado and Montana had ballot initiatives where 75% of the voters voted to support a constitutional amendment. We're working in many state legislators, and there are many states like Washington, for example, that has not yet called for a constitutional amendment, where we're working in the state legislature as well as working to put something on the ballot where people can vote. And any time people have voted, and it's happened really all over the country, there were many votes that took place throughout Wisconsin yesterday. People vote at about 75% to 80% in favor of a constitutional amendment, even in the most conservative and in the most progressive areas. It doesn't change. It shows that this is an issue that people are passionate and agree on. But people are working to form local groups, and that, you know, we have to organize in our living rooms. We have to educate our neighbors. This is an issue that may take a little while to win. It took 60 years to overturn Plessy v. Ferguson, and it may take a little while to overturn Citizens United and McCutcheon, but we have to be diligent and organized and talking to people to take democracy back into our hands.
So the rally today is at 5 o'clock, as we've said, at Pioneer Courthouse Square. Anything else that you would say to people who are interested in this issue or maybe outraged about what happened today?
Well, I think I would really encourage people to sign up at democracyisforpeople.org to sign our petition there. And that's a way that you can get alerts from us and stay active in the campaign. Go to the rally today at Pioneer Courthouse Square, meet other people locally, get organized, have study groups, talk to your neighbors, show videos. And we need to build support for this nationally. It's going to be a long haul, and we have to be ready for that. But it's something that we can win, because at our very hearts, everyone knows this is wrong. And there are five individuals on the Supreme Court who are really out of step with the rest of the nation. And in time, we're going to overturn this. In time, we're going to pass a constitutional amendment. But it's going to take everyone getting involved and taking action.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add in final words, Jonah?
I'm just really grateful to be on the show today. It's exciting. that so many people are taking action and this is becoming such a serious and front page issue all around the nation. And I think it's exciting today that in the media that people, instead of saying, what a terrible ruling, how upset we are about it, the media is going to say, look at these actions that are taking place all over the country. Look at how people are rising up. So the front page will be people holding signs in protest. And that's the image that we want to create. It's the image of protest and action, not just a mourning at this defeat. So I'm really grateful for spending the time today. I'm really excited about all that's happening around the country. I'm sure that the rally at Pioneer Courthouse Square will be great today at 5 o'clock. And the website for the other events, if people are just curious, is moneyout-votersin.org.
Say that again.
Moneyout-votersin.org is the website where you can see what's happening all over the country.
Great. Thank you so much, Jonah, for being on and talking about this.
I really appreciate your having me. Thank you for talking about it.
Yes, and I'll let people know that I've been speaking with Jonah Minkoff-Zern of Public Citizen. He is a senior organizer for the Democracy is for People campaign. This is Kathleen Stevenson for the Political Perspective Show. Stay tuned. Coming up, it's Air Cascadia with Chris Andre.
Good morning. It's just a couple minutes before 10. Coming up, we'll hear Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, stay tuned for Flashpoints, today presenting an encore broadcast of a recent interview with award-winning poet Martin Espada, celebrating the release of his latest book, The Trouble Ball. He also talks about why Tucson, Arizona banned his book of essays, Zapata's Disciple. And at 11 o'clock on The Bike Show, the guest is author and publisher Ellie Blue, whose latest book is Bikeonomics, How Bicycling Can Save the Economy. Thanks once again, all you KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a KBOO member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking where it says Donate Today. Thank you so much. And coming up next, as I said, Air Cascadia.
On Saturday, April 5th, KBOO is proud to present A Night of Healing the Healthcare Blues at the 3rd Annual Inner City Blues Festival. It's a night of all-star performances at the Melody Ballroom, 615 Southeast Alder Street at 6 p.m. That's the Inner City Blues Festival, Saturday, April 5th at the Melody Ballroom from 6 to midnight. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Radio. Today is Wednesday, April 2nd, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. We have Jody McCarthy back talking about what lies ahead for Jordan Cove. It's necessary to take a look at the layout there to fully understand the disaster that an LNG, liquefied natural gas plant, would pose for residents there, and not just the people who live at Coos Bay. In fact, all Oregonians, people who are in fact aware that the coast exists at all, care about it or have any concern about the imminent death of our oceans. That is indeed what we are talking about here. It's more than saving human lives. We've just seen what extraordinary rains can do, how many lives that death toll currently stands, I believe, at 28, in Oka, Washington, where basically a mountain fell down. And the idea of situating an LNG terminal in Coos Bay, Jordan Cove, is so preposterous, given all of the factors that have not been taken into account and should be. It seems criminally irresponsible to even discuss it. We do have some further headlines on the subject of criminal irresponsibility. The Supreme Court took another step today toward giving wealthy donors more freedom to influence federal elections, if you can possibly believe that. That's right. And they say this is not a politicized activist Supreme Court. I beg to differ. Justices rule 5-4, and the decision was written by Chief Justice John Roberts. What they did basically was they put the limits on the total amount of money donors can give to all candidates, committees, and political parties are unconstitutional. That's right. All limits are off the table. All limits on the amount of money that can be given to candidates, committees, and political parties. We're going to try to have Jeff Milchen on the show today. He's the co-founder of Montana-based American Independent Business Alliance. Montana, don't forget, is the state that stood up and rejected Citizens United. They voted against that. And it was a symbolic gesture, but nonetheless, symbols do have a certain weight. In just a moment, we'll be speaking with Jody McCaffrey. We've got a few headlines that are important to get through at the moment. Hanford workers say that they don't know what's going on. They voice concerns to the Department of Energy, another entity that doesn't really know what's going on, but is less forthcoming about it. 24 workers have reported medical problems over the past 2 weeks after breathing chemical vapors at Hanford. The vapors were detected primarily in the Hanford area that houses the large tanks holding the radioactive waste. That's a lot of people getting sick from breathing the air, isn't it? And the cage fight of the decade is underway in Astoria. It's the corporate legal battle between Westerland log handlers, a deeply indebted Clatsop County timber operator, versus China National Building Materials Import and Export. It's part of a $30 billion, that's billion with a B, a year enterprise partially owned by the People's Republic of China, which makes it illegal. You can't ship logs to a national entity. In any case, Westerland wants to end its relationship with China National and move on. China National is seeking to install its own executive atop Westerland, and to which end they are demanding immediate repayment of the $3.5 million that it loaned Westerland. No way Westerland log handlers is going to come up with $3.5 million. It has even hired an auctioneer. Get this. China National has hired an auctioneer to sell off Westerland's heavy equipment. Fancy that. And medical marijuana in Hillsborough, not likely immediately. Yesterday, Oregon United for Marriage pushed U.S. District Judge Michael Shane to strike down Oregon's ban on same-sex marriage by May 23rd. Well, we've got a deadline now. And the mayor of Castle Rock, Okay, this is the and finally story. The mayor of Castle Rock is required to take anger management classes for violating the courtesy code at a city council meeting when he raised his voice against the police chief or asked for more money for ammunition. So we've an anger management and ammunition problem in Castle Rock. And it's rare, but it's not unprecedented for a pipeline company to be charged with criminal safety law violations. But it does happen from time to time, believe it or not. We've got an instance of that. Yesterday, Pacific Gas and Electric was charged with federal felony counts, but no one was going to go to jail. Don't worry about that. Involving safety violations linked to a deadly 2010 natural gas pipeline explosion in the San Francisco Bay Area. Yeah, that's right. Another gas explosion back